This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05 in the evening, and a story that isn't very surprising.
No, I don't especially think. Not if you live in the Klang Valley.
No, food and non-alcoholic beverages have apparently recorded a 3.5% increase in Kuala Lumpur in July, far exceeding all the other states. This is according to our statistics department.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, right? I don't know. I don't know what to say about this beyond the fact that it's something that if you live here, you know it. You know it. You don't need an index to realize it. You realize it every time you pull out your wallet when you're at a coffee shop or a mama or really anywhere where you're buying food.
Yeah. So, okay, so here's the thing, right? Especially with something like food, we've seen food costs escalate over the last few decades. That seems to be the natural progression of these things. However, I think there are other external factors, especially in a place like KL, for example, when people are when I guess our general consumption also doesn't involve just staples, right? A lot of these foodstuffs that we purchase here and we feel the pinch actually include imported goods, things that will be affected by GST, things that will be affected by exchange rate fluctuations. Yes. The price of butter, for example, has been fluctuating like crazy. And so all of these things, I think as a denizen of KL, as a consumer of food in KL, is something we feel, yes, but I don't think it's going to be something that's going to change for us.
No, I think it's also worth pointing out that the kind of food that we see steady prices of here, or that there is a concerted effort for the prices to stay low, are generally food that we should probably be consuming less of. So food that has lots and lots of corn syrup, food that has lots and lots of cheap sugar. Those are the things that we tend to see. Well, you know what? We'll just keep your cereals and your tinned food and, you know, all the food that you don't really want people to be consuming in bulk, that you can get continuously for cheap, no problem. But it's the stuff that you'd rather people be buying more of, fresh food, for example, that we see like these huge fluctuations, both in terms of when you're buying it at the market and when you're ordering it in a restaurant.
Fruit, vegetables, bread.
You know, sources of nutrition, yes.
Milk. Exactly. Things like that, right? So I guess the question is what do you do, right? Because every time something like this happens, especially if you're thinking from the perspective of a family, you're going to have to cut back on certain things. So forget all the imported stuff, right? Forget butter, just say you're eating margarine. Forget cornflakes, right? And all of that stuff. So what does a family then do in these situations? And I think you can only tighten your belt so far. Especially fruit and vegetable, because then you tend to resort to fast food. You tend to resort to those canned items. And then, of course, the intended consequences of that ends up being everything else that happens, diabetes and all of the bad stuff, all of the health issues that come with eating unhealthily.
And unfortunately, I think a lot of food advice in the past has come from a privileged place, not always privilege in terms of money, but privilege in terms of time.
It's and an access as well.
Yes, it's an assumption that if you go to one supermarket and it's expensive, that you will somehow have the time to get
to
in your car,
or to go
somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you don't always have that option. So sometimes you're stuck with what is right in front of you and you make do.
And what's more, it's not even just going to the supermarket to buy cheap groceries. It's actually having the time and the ability to cook those groceries and cook food. Not if you're working one and a half, two jobs, right, to make ends meet. If you have a family of four, for example, all of that comes into play. And then you end up going to a fast food joint because you know what? It's cheap and it's ridiculously tasty as well.
We've also been seeing price increases in terms of the food that we get in places that you don't always think of as expensive, but you start to notice the price hikes.
You're thinking
coffee
like
shops.
Stall food, mama, coffee shops.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I think there was that whole, yay, with the GST gone, we're going to see prices going back to the way they were. And that, of course, has not been the case because why would I? You know, if I'm a restaurant owner, I might not want to do that.
Well, we saw that, right? Because we saw that being the case when the petrol prices were fluctuating. When petrol prices went up, your roti canai went up or your teh tarik went up. But it didn't mean that when the price per barrel dropped, that your roti canai price actually dropped back the way it used to be, you know, 4 years ago, right? That's not going to happen.
So it sounds like it's something that we're going to unfortunately continue to be complaining about for quite some time. It doesn't seem to be a problem that is going away. While the prices might fluctuate, our complaints will not.
No, they won't. But for a deeper analysis, we're crossing over to Dr. Paul Selvaraj, Secretary General of FOMCA, the Federation of Malaysian Consumer Associations. Dr. Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How would you look at this 3.5% increase in food prices last month in KL?
I think one of the things that the consumers need to realize is that the price factor is determined by many factors. And one of the things, of course, recently of concern is because of a lot of our food is imported, is the weakening ringgit. So when food is imported and our ringgit becomes weaker, then, of course, the prices is going to go up. And of course, there are also global and local factors of supply and demand. Yeah. So we really need to look at this, what's the real reason? I mean, another significant factor that's becoming more significant now is, of course, climate change, you know. So when all of these factors put together for each item, actually, I mean, of course, you can get a 3.5 as an overall factor. But if you really look at each of the individual items, you might see that, you know, what is the reason for that particular food product to increase. I think that needs to be really looked at. But like I said, prices of food is determined by many factors.
So let's talk about some of those factors. The government has taken steps to break up the sugar and rice monopolies. And in a recent op-ed that you penned on Free Malaysia Today, you wrote that import licenses or APs for food imports need to be eliminated as well. Can you talk to us about the impact of APs on food prices?
Now, I think generally the whole purpose here is to liberalize the market. We need to look at the food supply chain, whether it's the local food supply chain or the import food supply chain. And where there are barriers, and these barriers will include things like APs, it will include things like, you know, wholesalers or farmers discussing to fix prices. So we need to remove any kind of monopolistic behavior. I think that will have a major impact on prices because we feel that they're still, you know, along the supply chain, instead of competing, that they are cooperating. And through this, they can manipulate and fix prices. So through the Competition Commission specifically, we hope that this supply chain will be analyzed and where there are any barriers, strong action is taken. I think if we liberalize the market, whether it's removal of APs or removal of any kind of a monopoly, I think there will have a tremendous impact on prices in the retail end.
Are there any indications that the government will be eliminating APs for food imports anytime soon?
And this is one of our major proposals. I mean, one of our proposals obviously was sugar and rice, but this is just one of the items. We have brought this up several times with the Competition Commission and saying that, you know, two products have major impact. One is, of course, food, and the other thing is medicines. So the Competition Commission was specifically set up to look at the removal of any kind of monopoly practices. So we have made this proposal at different levels, and we hope that a government will take this up and take firm action so that consumers can benefit from a liberal market.
Okay, so if food imports are one of the main reasons for high food prices, would it be true to say that increasing food production within the country would lower those prices? And of course, you know, are there also challenges to that? Because as mentioned by the previous Deputy Agriculture and Agro-based Industry Minister Tajuddin Abdul Rahman, there's a lack of youth who are keen on venturing into that agricultural sector.
Our emphasis in the past has always been on commercial crops. And there have been many calls by academic and even us that we need to refocus on food production. Most developed countries balance out between manufacturing as well as focus on food. That makes, you know, for food security and stability in case of any kind of crisis. So I think we have not given enough priority as far as food production is concerned. We need to, as a long-term measure, we need to go back to food production and make it a significant industry. It must be a commercial industry to attract even the young generation to work. The returns must be good. Income must be good. Because the way that it is now, it's all a lot of it is fragmented, you know, so it may not be viable. Even people who work on it may not have sufficient income for it to attract, you know, new energy, new investment, new workers and all that. So we need to relook and to make it, I mean, and especially now, we can really focus on technology to increase productivity and think, make things more viable. So I think we really need to refocus on food production in Malaysia, like, because we import too high. That gives a lot of risk, especially if there's any kind of problems that we've faced in the past.
Dr. Ball, another factor that's been pointed out is how middlemen or cartels control the distribution of raw food in the country, and you know that keeps food prices high as well. How significant is this factor when it comes to food prices?
Now, that's why, I mean, middlemen, of course, very often the middlemen get the thing, but it could just be the supply chain itself. There's some points, whether it's the production, wholesale level, traders level. If there's competition at every level of the wages, for example, when you talk of APs, if APs are removed, then anybody who can import food can bring in at the best price. But if there's an AP, then there's a choke point where only certain people can bring in. So the idea has to be to liberalize the market at every level, whether it's import or whether it's at the food chain level, you know, to look at what we call a market review and take action on this kind of activity which results in price manipulation.
And you've mentioned in your op-ed that there's a lack of enforcement of the Price Control and Anti-Profiteering Act 2010. Why do you think that's been the case?
Now, one of the challenges, of course, is to prove anti-profiteering. But when there are extreme cases, we hope that the government will use this, and not only use this, also publicize this, because not only must do they need to take action, they also need to give a message to the market that, you know, profiteering is an unacceptable behavior, you know. And if there's clear cases, then they should be charged. It's not just taking action and telling the person not to do it, but charging the person so that this gives a clear signal to the market that profiteering is not an acceptable behavior, and the law will be used. The law will be used to combat this kind of negative practices, which obviously have a very negative impact on consumer prices.
But you did mention that it's hard to prove profiteering.
Yes. But there are extreme cases. Huh? I mean, and I think anti-profiteering, it cuts across, of course, it's food, but it's also about housing. It's also about a lot of things. And the law, of course, gives that authority to look at the person's costing. It's difficult. I don't deny that, but it can be done. I mean, if you look at costing of, and you can compare with prices of, you know, other jurisdictions or other retailers, and at least that will give an indication that certain people are selling more than, you know, what is considered normal profits. You know, so when this is done, then certainly the act should be enforced.
So in all of this, do consumers have a role to play?
No, certainly. I mean, that's why there's always two roles as far as this is concerned. The first role is the role of government in terms of production, in terms of regulation, in terms of removing barriers and all that. Now, consumers also have to play a role, you know. So they have to be responsible in terms of their consumption, what they can afford, how they are managing their consumption, getting the best price, choosing products, I mean, making an effort to get best value for money, you know, buying things that you really afford in terms of savings, in terms of retirement. Consumers also have a significant role to play. But it's our belief that, you know, not enough is being done in terms of consumer education and financial education. So the government needs to play a significant role in empowering consumers. It's not about pointing fingers, because there's one stage, that's the role of government. I mean, it's consumer organizations, we advocate for affordable housing, we have for affordable food, public transport and things like that. But consumers also have to play a role in terms of, for example, where possible, using public transport, you know, taking medical insurance, for example, shopping around to get the best deal, putting aside money for savings. So consumers have to play a role. For them to play this role, empowerment is important, and empowerment comes through consumer education. So we need to empower consumers also to play a role in this market, and also very important to take greater responsibility in terms of, you know, the interaction in the market and in terms of how they manage their own finances.
All right, Dato, thank you so much for your perspective. That was Dato Paul Selvaraj, Secretary General of the Federation of Malaysian Consumer Associations. Now, if you have any concerns about food prices, or if you found a way to deal with it in your everyday life, you can call us and tell us on 03-77-109-000.
Yes, share your tricks.
Share your tricks and share your pain as well.
Yes, please.
We're all in it together.
It's a safe space.
This is a safe space. Mm-hmm. It's a group therapy. 03-77-109-000 to talk back. In the meantime, here's some Green Day. Hitching a ride on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.